So this morning we are continuing our series on doubt. You know, when the guys and I were planning out this sermon calendar, we picked four stories from the life of Peter. And the story I was supposed to preach this morning was Jesus and Peter walking on the water. And I felt like, you know what, I've talked about that story a lot. I've preached it before. So I'm gonna pick a different story. But Peter's still there, but he's just not like the main character. So this morning's story is not necessarily only involving Peter, but Peter was there, and I'm sure that he was a major contributor because it's Peter. And if you know much about Peter, the guy can't keep quiet about anything, right? He just always has to say something. And I really appreciate that because I relate to him. I can't keep my mouth closed either. And last week we looked at the topic of doubt, and really it was kind of an introduction to the series, talking about the fact that everybody doubts. Everyone doubts. And at some point, you will experience some doubt in your life. But you are in good company, because guess what? Peter, he doubted quite a bit. Thomas doubted quite a bit. Most of the other disciples, at some point, they doubted. So we are in good company if we doubt. Doesn't mean that we stay there. I think that's the key. It's like doubting is fine. Just don't stay there. Seek answers. Seek God. Seek God's what God wants from you. And help him help you explain some of your doubts. So we're looking at this today. We're looking at a doubt from the angle of when storms of life take over. Next week, we'll look at doubt from when things fail. And the final week of the series, we will look at after doubt. Am I still worthy after doubt? So today's scripture, if you want to follow along on the screen or read along with your Bible or your phone app, or there's Bibles under the pew. Under the pews there. Today's scripture is Matthew 8, 23 through 27. And it says this: Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Jesus responded, Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and the waves obey him. You know, one reason why everyone doubts is because storms happen. Storms happen. Sometimes storms happen because we went out despite the signs and forecasts that told us not to. Sometimes we went out and did whatever anyway, and then boom, a storm happened, and we were like, oh, that was probably a bad idea. And sometimes, like in the story we just read, we're minding our own business, and bam, storm pops up out of nowhere. I've told you all before what 2002 looked like for me, right? Besides the Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl the last time, right? I fell and I hit my head. Yeah, you guys have heard the story. I fell and I hit my head on some wet pavement. And when I hit my head, the blood vessels on the left side of my brain, they all ruptured. And my brain started bleeding. And I had the worst headache I've ever had in my entire life. I went to my friend's house, he had a pool party. I went over there, and everybody's swimming and having a good time, watching, you know, playing cards and doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm in the back room sleeping. And I got up with the most massive headache I've ever had in my entire life, and I said, man, I'm going to go home. It's like 9 o'clock, right? And I'm like, so big, never goes home at 9 o'clock, right? So I went home and drove a friend home. That was a bad idea. And the next morning I woke up and my words were all jumbled. And I couldn't really form things right. And I still had this splitting headache, you know. And so I called my mom, you know, I'm 24, you know. But I called my mom, right, and I say, Mom, I got this crazy headache. I fell and I hit my head. I don't know. I think I may have got a concussion or something. And she's like, well, let's, and this is unlike my mom, but my mom's like, well, let's go to the doctor. Okay, this such a bad headache, fine. I go to the hospital. They kick me to the curb because I didn't have insurance. And they don't even look at me, really. So I go home for 3 days. And I come back, and I can't talk anymore. And I can't use the right side. My hand on my right side isn't working. My face is kind of drooping. And you guys know what that means. And I stroked out at 24. And I go back to the emergency room, and they, Carl, the hospital in Champaign, they kick me to the curb because I don't have insurance, and they drop me to, they send me by ambulance to Bloomington because they didn't want to pay for this. I don't think it's legal, but whatever. That was 20 years ago. They send me to Bloomington. I'm in Bloomington for 7 days. I can't talk. I can't use the right side of my body. I can't eat. I can't do anything. And the day that they, about 5 days in, they said to my parents and my sister, like, you may want to consider some sort of home for him because he's done. Yeah, that's the truth, right? No, God healed me and God took care of me. But let me tell you something right now. For a long time, I was affected by this, right? And why, God? Why is this happening to me? I am not 70. I am not 75. I am not 85. I am 24 years old. What is going on? And so God healed me, and that. But I'm going to be just honest with you. I had some doubt. Even afterward, I had some doubt about why did that happen? And God brought me through it, and he healed me, and he healed my heart, and he healed my thoughts, and he brought me to a place where I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter why, because I am going to praise God anyway. And I had brain surgery, and 3 months later, I took my first ministry in Tampa Bay. So surgery fixed it, we thought. Last year, I see my primary care doctor is in Springfield, at Springfield Clinic. I used him when I lived in Springfield. He and one of my really, really close friends are really good friends. So like when I moved back to the area, I'm like, I'm keeping him because I love him. He knows me, trust each other. And so my last year's physical, I go to his office, and he says, hey, so I've been talking about you with our new neurologist. I'm like, you're talking about me? All right. He goes, you've been on my heart, and I'm talking to you, you know, I've been talking with him, and he says, you know, Moya, that's the disease that you have. That's what made the fall, and you know, when you fell, made all that happen. Your blood vessels didn't form right in your brain when you were born, and blah, blah, blah. He goes, this is what it is, right? And I said, yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, that I was diagnosed with Moya, and he said, I need you to know that disease is not a, you have surgery and you're done. That disease is progressive. Meaning that you will need to be monitored for that for the rest of your life. And there will probably come a day, or there may, not probably, there may come a day where you have to have surgery and fix it again. Whew. So I went and I saw his neurologist, and he's like, you know what, we're going to do scans on you every 6 months to a year. So every 6 months to a year, you're going to have a fresh scan done, and I will be able to see what's going on in your brain, and I will know if there's any progression that we can get ahead of it quickly. For 20 years, I have thought this issue is taken care of. This issue is fixed. I don't have to worry about this anymore. Can I tell you that for a moment, when my doctor was talking to me, when the neurologist was talking to me, I just threw my hands in the air. Why? Tomorrow we are going to St. Louis Children's St. Louis Children's Hospital or Children's Hospital St. Louis because we got all this diagnosed, and then my neurologist told me there's a 50% chance that you have passed this disease down to your children. So St. Louis Children's Hospital is the number one hospital in the country for children with this disease. So tomorrow we're going to go get Evelyn checked out and make sure that she doesn't have it or she doesn't have it yet. Doubt. You been there? I wish I could say to you, yeah, I never doubted the whole time. I never asked why. I never did anything. It's just not true. I have. I'm at peace with it. But it's never fun when you get words and news like that. To think that there's a chance that I've passed that down to one of my kids or both of my kids. Storms happen, don't they? Seems like for us, since our marriage, Heather and I have had one challenge after another, one storm after another. I had my gallbladder removed acutely. Heather had complications with Evelyn. Heather's mom had open heart surgery. My dad spent Christmas in the ER a few years ago. He had an infection in his small intestine, and he went septic, right? Which is never a good thing. We had Elijah, and you guys know the Elijah story. Heather was in the hospital last year for a week with a pneumonia. Heather was in the hospital this year and almost died from COVID. Like, it has just been one storm after another. Boom, 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 boom for us. We've only been married for 8 years. Goodness. And I know our family isn't the only one. I know that many of you have had some major storms in your life as well. And when storms happen, those are really are those gut check times in your life. There really are the times when you may question God, and we may ask, God, are you there? God, do you care? Do you really love me like you said you did? Why is this happening to me? Why does my neighbor who doesn't love you seem to never have any storms or never have any trials in their lives, and I have tons? Why? And despite our best intentions, many times when we begin to struggle, we begin to fade and we start to doubt. Church, can I please tell you, I understand. I get it. I wish that I could say that I was a rock in every one of those situations, that I never for a minute did I doubt, but that's just not true. That is a lot to deal with in 8 years. That's a lot to deal with when you have a stroke and almost die at 23. That's a lot to handle. And there were times where I wondered, God, are you there? God, don't you love me anymore? God, what did I do wrong? God, I thought you said that you would be with me. Are you really there, God? I am thankful that in those moments where I asked those questions, where I wondered if God really was there, that I wasn't in those places for long. However, I could totally understand if I had been stuck there. Or if someone who is experiencing something similar would have doubt. And I could totally understand somebody wandering away. I could totally understand that. But I want you to understand something else. God is big. He can handle your doubt. He can handle your questions. He can. This morning, we are going to look at this passage and try to learn about what to do when the storms of life come. So, Matthew 8:23-27 teaches us, number one, God doesn't keep us from storms. He doesn't keep us from the storms. I want us to hear this. God never promised us that once we became His followers that our storms would end. He never did. I think that thinking causes us to doubt. Look at verses 23 and the first part of 24 in our passage. It says, "Then Jesus got into the boat, started across the lake with His disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat." You see this? God did not keep the disciples from the storm. I think that sometimes we assume that if we follow Him, that our lives are going to be storm-free. And it's just not the case. Look at Jesus. Look at His disciples. Nothing about their lives was storm-free. And ours won't be storm-free either. When we become His disciples, remember that we have Jesus in the boat with us. When storms hit, let's try to remember that. Let's try to remember this. To one, keep an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." This life that we live right now, this life is for a little while. And we get to spend the rest of eternity praising and loving and living with our King. Keep an eternal perspective. B, remember God's working for your good. Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." You remember the story of Joseph and his brothers? All right. Joseph's brothers were really jealous of Joseph. And they made a plan to kill him. And then the older brother was like, "You know what? Let's not kill him. Let's throw him in a cistern and let him, maybe he'll drown or something. I don't know." And then they're like, "Well, look, there's some traitors and some slavers. Let's sell them." And so they sold little Joseph into slavery in Egypt. And then they told their dad, "Joseph died. Look, the coat got mangled by a wolf." Right? Time goes on. Joseph gets thrown in jail. Joseph gets wrongly accused of stuff. But God is faithful to him. And pretty soon, Joseph finds himself second in command of all of Egypt. Fast forward. famine is happening all over the world. Joseph's brothers come to Joseph begging for food. They don't recognize Joseph. And Joseph does this whole elaborate scheme where he lets them know who he is. And his brothers fall on his knees and their knees and say, we are not worthy. We are so sorry. Please forgive us. Be merciful to us. Kill us quickly. Do something. We're sorry. And you remember what Joseph said? He says, who am I that I could punish you? What you intended for bad, God has made into good. He is saving all of his people through what you did so many years ago, selling me into slavery. God is working for our good, folks. Church, God is working for our good. Even in situations that have caused, situations that are evil, God has the ability to take those situations and turn them into good. He turns them into good. C is keep following Jesus. Even if it's one slow foot, one slow trudge, one slow, just kind of shuffle at a time. Keep following Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Number 2. Storms don't mean God is abandoning you. Just like God never abandoned Noah or Abraham or Moses or Elijah, God never abandoned the disciples. He never abandoned Paul, and most importantly, he never abandoned Jesus, right? He will never abandon you. He will never abandon me. As long as we draw breath, God is wooing us back. He is beckoning. He is searching for us. Jesus told us in John 16 that we would have trouble in this world, but he has overcome. Hebrews 4:13 says, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. God didn't mean, except when you're going through some of your roughest times or your hardest times or times that are just impossible, God doesn't say, well, I'll be with you always until those times. No. Always. I will never abandon you. Your most heartbreaking times, I am there. When we are his disciples, folks, we have Jesus in the boat with us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I think that not only did God not keep his disciples from the storm, I think that God wanted the disciples to be in that storm so that they could realize that they had Jesus in the boat with them. Many of the disciples were fishermen. They knew storms. They knew boats. They knew boat life. They knew how to do all this. And yet, what happened? They were terrified. The account of this story in Mark 4:38 says, the disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care about us? Don't you care that we're going to drown? He wanted the disciples to recognize their own helplessness, his sufficiency, and their dependence on Jesus. And I think that this was purposeful, that Jesus knew what was about to happen, and that they might see that Jesus had such dependency on the Father, that they were about to, even though they were experienced sailors, they were going to see something amazing. And that even though they were sailors and they were absolutely terrified, they needed to know that they had Jesus, the most powerful force in the universe. That Jesus was with them. He was in the boat with them. In the same way, we too have the promise of His presence. We are promised that God is going ahead of us, that He has gone before us. He is with us, even when we feel we are all alone. If we could just look up, we would see His face. Church, I think that if we live our lives and in those lives, and we never have any storms at all, how can we relate to a world that is hurting? How can we relate to a world that is groaning? How can we relate to a world that is dying? Jesus allows His disciples to develop a faith and a trust in Him, one that allowed them to bring hope to the world. And in the same way, when we experience storms, we can bring hope to those around us. Well, finally, number three is, how will you weather the storm? You know, that becomes a big question, doesn't it? How will we weather the storm? Look at verse 25. The disciples went and woke Him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And Jesus responded, "Why are you so afraid? You have so little faith." Then He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the wind and the waves obey Him." Listen, really, there are only two different options to deal with life's storms. Number one is we try and do it on our own. I lived in Florida for 6 or 7 years. I had my share of hurricane scares, right? And whether we try to hunker down or whether we pack up a few things and try to outrun it, it's all the same thing. We're trying to do it on our own strength. And when it comes to life storms, those are both same side of the same coin. We are trying to manage on our own power. And folks, when we try to manage life storms with your own power, it's a recipe for disaster. The only other option is to realize in this life that when we have storms, we have Jesus in the boat with us. What are you going to do? Here's a few questions to ask yourself this week. One, how has God showed you His plans were good in the storms of your life? Two, how can you use a storm in your life to help others and honor God? And number three is, what lesson is Jesus trying to teach me in my present storm? I think that if we can have that perspective, we can ask those questions, and we can ask those questions before the storms hit, that perhaps maybe our doubting will be a little bit less, and our trust in Jesus will be a little bit more. And that's my prayer for my life and my prayer for yours.